Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Stu Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Once again, all kinds of stuff to talk about. The Democrats are ready to screw over Colorado tomorrow when they start their special legislative session. But want to start off with Jed Dunning, Newsmax commentator, author, radio talk show host himself, has a great new column up, One Dead Child Too Many, Trump's Border Policies and How They Must Be Continued. It's a moral imperative. So, hey, Jed, thank you. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you today.
Great to be here in, you know, Colorado. I'm from Wood School, Fort Collins, and grew up in Glenwood Springs, so always a pleasure.
Oh, great. It's great. I think a lot of the wildfires have been contained over there now. It's been a little bit rough on the western slope, but I think everything is back being contained. What's not contained, obviously, is, you know, illegal immigrant crime. I was a TV reporter for a long time in Denver, and for years we've been reporting on illegal and oftentimes criminal illegal aliens committing horrendous crimes that wouldn't have occurred if only we had enforced our border policies. And that's a kind of thing you talked about in your column. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time, actually. I actually will talk personally as well. You know, grew up in a great town, great culture there. A lot of things have changed. You know, America's changed a lot. We've got open borders, right? We've got homogenized criminal laws that treat criminals like a victim class, you know, from moral place of moral relativism versus moral absolutism. Things have changed a lot in our culture. And when you look at that call and you look at how that applies to the border, like is it an exception to the rule? And it's not. I mean, look at all the loss and damage. And I said something on a show the other day, got some people pretty heated. I said, actually, there's an eminent domain rule in America that says we could take your property, your child, whatever. I was just using real estate as an example. We could take that away from you if it's for the public works. If somebody comes into our country, steals the American dream, causes damage, taxes our system, and steals it, suddenly they own that, they have rights to it, they get to keep it. But hey, but then cut to your kid is dead. You know, you've been, somebody does a U-turn on the highway and you lose your family. So, you know, it's a moral absolutist situation with the justice of it. There is no rationale. There is no racism. There is no targeting. It's just a matter of, you know, the government through the Constitution has an obligation to protect us for domestic tranquility. Yeah. And that is affecting our rights.
No, and I think that's a really good way to put it, and it's a strong way to put it, right? And you did. I mean, it's not racism, it's not, you know, immigration policies. It's like the government has a duty, and we have a right to expect it to protect us. And when it's letting people in who kill people who otherwise would not be dead, would be alive, living with their families, sitting at their dinner tables with their families, if only we enforce the border policies. I agree with you. There's a moral imperative to enforce those border policies.
The problem with you two xenophobes
is
that you don't realize, what about the census? Huh? I mean, by allowing all these criminals come in, the killers, the rapists, the fentanyl distributors and so forth, and kill our children, but it allows the Electoral College and the amount of Congress people to be increased because in our census, we can count illegal aliens. So you know, all the other stuff is...
No, what is, you're right on, Chuck. What is the long game? Chuck's on the long game. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
So what's moral imperative, Judd, to Democrats increasing their power?
Yeah, come on. Let's get real.
Well, no, generally, the cultural Marxist long plan and the long march of institutions is exactly that, is a demographic shift. Like, you're going after the Supreme Court. They're talking about adding additional states and flooding the demographic. But here's an interesting point where anybody has this false illusion of racism is like, here's why the right can't run panels in every city to find out who is good and who is not. Instead, we have to throw everybody out because there was a basic invasion of our culture with like 10 million people in a very short amount of time. If illegal immigration had stayed at prior levels, Biden hadn't opened the door to 6 to 9 million people, then we could have conscious, caring panels around the United States with citizens saying, how have you contributed? What special considerations should we make? But they were so focused on throwing the vote, changing the demographics, creating a fear society, that it's actually the left that denied all the illegal immigrants the space to give us to have conscious, slow panels and decide who has to go or who has to not go. It's not the right throwing everybody out because we have that issue. It's the left that stole the rights of people to slowly be evaluated, to be removed selectively. The way they tried to dilute the vote, they stole that from undocumented illegal aliens. We could have had a more conscious civil space, but no, instead, we have to just clear everybody out because there's too much murder, there's too much death, there's too much rape, there's too much fentanyl. So I think point the finger in the other direction. If they hadn't played that game, then maybe a few million people could be here under special consideration. I the other day, I paid for somebody to get an immigration lawyer who is here illegally as a as a standing Republican, because they contribute a lot of society. Whether they get through or not, I'm doing my part. They're, it's tragic. And the left did it to the illegal aliens, not us.
Well, and and you're right. And part of it is you're right. Everybody gets caught up in it then. But what's interesting to me is the cultural shift. There was a time, I haven't been a TV reporter for a few years now, but where you couldn't say illegal immigrant. And when there was a crime committed, you couldn't mention the fact that the person was here illegally, no matter how horrendous a crime. That, I think, thank goodness, in part, because like you said, they completely opened borders. There's so much of it going on right now. But now you can talk about, like, that truck driver, right, that couldn't even read English, that couldn't recognize the road signs, and then killed people, right? And then California tries to give him sanctuary. But there is so much of that being reported every day that all of a sudden people are like standing up and going, well, wait, whoa, wait a minute, right? It's and you're right, the left did all of this to themselves and to the very people that they claim to be trying to support.
Well, they don't claim to be
and they're blaming
them. They're
us.
Not trying to
Go
help
ahead,
them.
Chuck.
Right, yeah, they blame us. Well, you're right,
yeah,
they're
they're not
trying.
trying to help. They're not trying to do anything else. They just care about the census and the number of seats in the Electoral College. They make no bones about it. They don't kind of go, oh, this is great for us. They kind of go, we don't care what's great. We don't care about anything other than naked politics. And so if you die, you get raped, that's just part of the cost of working the census. And so you got to give them credit. You got to give them credit. They used to hide their greed and power lust behind kind of this facade of that they're these caring people, but they just had to get rid of that, and now they're just straightforward. We're power, all power, all the time. And if you schmucks keep, maybe we can con you into thinking that we're being mean to the illegal immigrants. And what do you really expect when you have, I don't know what percent, but 80% of the people coming across are young, 15 to 25-year-old males, with very few job skills other than manual labor. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to rob, steal, and do everything else. Well, what do you expect them to do? They got to do something. And as far as they're concerned, it's all okay. But at least they're up front these days. They're no longer going to,
Exactly. They're not trying to
they're
hide
the nice
anymore.
people. They're not nice, and they would be happy to destroy the country. And they were. They're doing a good job of it. And unless we get hard-hearted enough to kind of reverse the flow, which is really kind of what 1.6 million voluntarily re-immigrated,
Yeah.
it's if we can keep that up, maybe that we'll only have, who knows how many tens of millions of illegal immigrants here. But it's the fact that we've gotten to this point that Trump could actually deport people beyond just rapists and murderers and people who had killed somebody in the last couple of weeks. It's a huge step forward. And once they get the 70,000 or how many, I don't know how many, maybe 10,000 extra Border Patrol people, it's going to be an ever increasing outflow, which will have its own negative consequences, quite frankly. But it's it saves the country, and it's a miracle that Trump has been able to do it.
It's not hard-hearted though, because if you think about this, what's hard-hearted, and this is covered in my book, 13F Reasons Why Not to Be Liberal and How to Enlighten Others, our chapter on immigration is, we America on the flip side, besides the sex trafficking, the deconstruction, and throwing our demographic for voting reasons for the grand plan, it's not okay to let people come in and live a slave class existence off the grid without a driver's license, without the ability for insurance to get employed at all the levels that you have to live for the next generation to be, sacrifice themselves. That slave class of labor is driven by plutocracy, our businesses, our politicians. It's not just about the vote. It's like we need to pay for more expensive avocados. I'm an American. I'll tell you right now, mark up my groceries 30% rather than treat people like secondary citizens. Why is that civil, noble, or right? It's not. They don't have the same rights. They don't get to rise.
Well, and you look at what I was reading the other day, that the Biden administration placed 10,000 illegal immigrant children with unvetted sponsors. Now, what do we think happened there? You know what I mean? It's like, you're right, they don't care. And they do create this whole class. Another thing, too, I was reading, this is interesting because you talk about the business models or the business companies, the corporations that are sort of complicit to a certain extent in this. I was reading a thing where, so Trump is cutting down on some of the, was it the B1 visas? But some of the corporations, the high tech companies, are kind of fudging the, so they've been flooded with Americans applying for the job, right? But the tech companies are kind of fudging what they're looking at and not looking at, and then turning around and saying, oh, we don't have enough qualified workers, because they don't want to have to pay the wages that they would have to pay an American.
No, Trump's definitely paying attention to that. I think that's where some people say there was even some of the pressure with Elon, right, as it related to his own corporations. I think the greater issue right beside this is how Trump is also talking about, how he's treating the cartels as terrorists. It's time, it is time. And I'm going to talk about this in the show. I've only done it one other time, but we lost our kid in a fentanyl trafficking crime a couple years ago. I'm
That's too bad.
1.5 million in, 17 rehabs, multiple police actions. I'm in the middle of three cases. I can only talk about one, and I have somebody facing 12 counts of child pornography, 35 years, who's an illegal immigrant who's going to go to jail and get deported. And it's been the battle of our life, and we've been personally affected. And what happened was, is when LA, which I live in half the time, Texas and LA, when they rolled back the laws and made 14 laws be no longer be effective misdemeanors, the culture devolved. The borders got open at the same moment. There's a lot of pressures there. And the biggest one is we need to treat fentanyl like a poison and an attack on our country, and we need to keep the terrorists there. And so you have to actually treat the whole system for the extremes. And the extremes happen. I'm sober 30 something years. My last drink's in Fort Collins, actually. And a very good one, actually. I think somebody told me. But the if you look at and I'm in the 12-step recovery program many, many years. I go because there's a crisis in America. There's 34 million addicted people, and there's like 2 million people in AA. In the 70s, there was 2 million people in AA and like 10 million addicted. We have a massive addiction problem. So I go and I serve. And every day I go to meetings now, some kid has taken a Xanax. My other assistant died taking a pill of fentanyl. So, this is the other element that relates to just that alone. And then the sex trafficking is just horrible. And these people, the last point, these people that are across the border that are the glamorized cartel, hey, they can get a job. They can stop living off American misery in their high life, just kill them all, as far as I'm concerned. It worked in the Philippines. We need to stop this attack on our country. And that's what my article is about. You think about one illegal, one dead child, that end of sentence. We don't have to have some big moral situation. They don't have the right to be here. They don't have the right to kill somebody here. Get them out.
Right. I covered the Aurora Theater shooting, right? There are all the people that were killed there, and there's constant outrage and horror, and we need to change the gun laws, and they jump up and down about that. But then, like as you said, you have 10 illegal immigrants kill 10 separate children, and that's okay. All of a sudden, they deserve sanctuary, and we can't deport them, and we release them on PR bonds and ridiculous stuff like that. And you're right. I mean, we treat our own citizens so much worse, really. I mean, the way they should be treated, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's not even,
Yeah.
it's bizarre how that has broken down too, I think, don't you?
Yeah, and I just want, and I do want to put out, well, I'm hitting hard, so I want to say this: illegal immigrants actually have lower crime rates because they really actually most of them want to be here. And for those good people out there that are suffering to see this, and you said hard-hearted, which is part of being mature and protecting a civil society, gosh bless us all. I mean, my Fidel Castro shot my mom's dog when we left Cuba. And we're not Cuban, but we lived there during those eras, right? My other grandma came over in 1906 from the pogroms from the Ukraine Polish areas, and they were being, they were all being killed. I mean, we are all immigrants. Of course, this has nothing to do with racism. But I will say the left is spinning this and abusing this, and they don't really care about trans people. They don't really care about people of color. They don't really care about immigrants. They care about calcified power for the elites that is separated from their party, which has completely lost the plot. Tell me what the Democratic Party stands for. I have no idea.
Well, and I think that's where our hope lies, right? Because I think people then see what's happening. People see, I mean, you even have, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC pointing out, well, I know Trump shouldn't, take over Washington, D.C., but I do have to say it's kind of dangerous to walk around here. I mean, people can see the difference. And Trump is, the Democrats have got so bad, I think, so out of control, that now people are like, yeah, Trump's got a point there. We cannot have this going on. So at least I think there's some hope. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's some great hope. I think at some level, like, look, nationalism and populism isn't a negative. It's just care, right? I love this idea in America. Like, America is not better than anyone else. We're just exceptionally fortunate. We had vast resources. We were following deism and we were following the theology of the French and Magna Carta and religious repression. We came here at the right time. It was the right time in the Industrial Revolution. We are such a blessed and beautiful country. And there are a lot of mechanisms that are in place that are working well. People are paying attention to immigration. They're looking at the cost. Legislation is placed. And the most important thing is Trump. Who else has the cojones? Excuse the word. I don't know. I don't know the polite words. The moxie. Moxie. Who,
Okay.
now that it's too late, I've already said it on the radio. But
That's okay.
who has the resolution, the resolute tenacity to not care about the plutocracy to protect us? And so
Right.
we're in good hands. The reality, though, is let's talk about the reality. The reality is we don't have enough ICE agents. This could take decades. The hyperbole that's occurring is really, it's crazy how ineffective it is. I have a Bernie supporter friend who needs a job. He's actually applied to be an ICE agent because there's a $50,000 bonus. They need people so badly, So I think there is a lot of positive out there for sure, Julie and Chuck. I do. So,
All right. Let me ask you a final question before we let you go, because you are everywhere, basically. But where can people get your book? Where can people hear you, your show, all that great information?
oh, well, thank you so much. And thank you, Colorado, and thank you, America. And thank you for what you guys do. This is one of the few places where you have an unideologically constrained conversation with honesty and risk. You guys are great. At Judd Dunning, that's 3 D's, 2 N's on Twitter, at Judd Dunning. Just follow me there. I drop my blog there when Newsmax doesn't run. I drop my Newsmax stuff there. Our website is juddunning.com. You can buy our book on Amazon, 13 and a Half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal and How to Enlighten Others. And always a pleasure to serve and be part of your
Well, it's
conversation.
great to have you on. Great to have you. I'll be back.
All righty. Thank
All
you,
right, thank
everybody.
you. All
Take
right,
care.
thank you. All
Take
right,
care.
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'll hear from Charlene. I love Judd Dunning. I've been following him on Twitter for 5 years. That's right. And again, from Charlene, create the chaos to implement the new order. Cojones is perfect, although moxie is a good substitute as well as chutzpah. Cojones is good. Well, yeah, I, you know, I, the it really is turning. It really is turning, and I think it's, you can talk about these things now. You can say it. You can report that, when a criminal is actually an illegal immigrant. And I attribute that. Well, I think a lot of it is people have been red-pilled. Trump has pushed it. And in part, like any kind of pendulum, don't you think, Chuck, the Democrats, it got so bad, right? It got so insane that automatically people go, wait, that's too much.
Well, the entire media was more or less controlled by the left, and that's really changed. I mean,
Right.
your local paper no longer has much influence here in Denver, the Denver Post, very little influence.
Right.
MSNBC, all the networks, they're all, late night shows are going under. The grip they had on us, which was really considerable,
Right.
is really starting to lose. And they don't know what to do. They really don't know what to do.
Well, in the corporate, now that kind of perfect segue, Chuck, into one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Oh, and feel free, guys, if you want to just kind of chime in on something, you can unmute yourself and chime in, or you can just kind of type something over here in the chat session too. So feel free to do that. But as I predicted on Monday, a major kind of shakeup in the Denver, not even Denver, this is sort of a national story. So Nexstar, which owns Fox 31 here in Denver, is buying. The sale was okayed. I think the deal was struck. Tegna, which owns Channel 9. Now, Nexstar also owns some 200 TV stations around the country. Tegna owns, I think, like 9. But that means, and I mean, I've been talking with friends who have left Fox and who hate Channel 9, so kind of laughing that all the liberal nut jobs over at Channel 9 are now going to be affiliated with the conservative Fox 31. Even though Fox itself, the reporters there and everybody are still liberal, it's just kind of funny. And my prediction is that Kyle Clark could very well be on his way out, right? And so most people,
No, not Kyle, please don't say
can just
that.
tell you,
That can't be true.
I was at Fox 31 when they bought Channel 2. And initially they said, oh, don't worry, everyone will keep their jobs. We won't fire anyone. Everybody will, we'll run it as two separate stations. Well, that lasted like about a week.
A
And everyone
week
at
and a
Channel
half.
2,
Oh, yeah, you're all fired. No,
yeah,
no
everyone at
difference.
Channel 2 was all fired, right? And they consolidated it all into one giant operation. My guess would be that something similar kind of happens, right? And it's even more pressure now because the piece of the media pie, or the media pie, is shrinking, so the pieces inside are shrinking. Nexstar is going to own three pieces of the pie, but even talking to people I know in the media, which I don't do all that much anymore, Kyle Clark is not that, say, universally loved. He may be the golden boy at Channel 9, but a lot of media people in town express, oh, astonishment that he gets away with the bias that he exhibits there. And I would imagine that would change, right? Because why would you want to alienate half your audience, particularly if your audience right now is Fox, right?
Well, he's been successful with it. I mean, he doesn't hide it,
Yeah.
or didn't attempt to hide it. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the merger effect it has. But I mean, Channel 9, I mean, at one time, Channel 9 was an incredibly powerful media source and had a real sway. And all the channels have been going down, but none more than Channel 9.
Oh, yeah.
And so Kyle Clark is talking to a smaller and smaller group of people, and it's clearly they think it's worthwhile. They wouldn't allow them to do it.
Here's the thing I can tell you again, from what I saw when Fox and Channel 2 merged, is the upper management all went away from Channel 2, right? You don't need two general managers. You don't need two news directors. You don't need, and those are the people who are letting Kyle get away with what he's doing. If any other news director in town thought that that was an appropriate or good way to go, they would have their anchors trying to do it, right? So I think that's just my guess, and we'll see. And this will, I mean, the deal is supposed to be go through by next summer. If I were Kyle Clark, Charlene is like, he's going to have to apply to CNN. Yeah. Now, and who knows? You could see them. I could even see a situation where they turned it into much more of a sports-oriented thing. I mean, I just think a lot of the people who've been kind of smugly, being superior to the rest of us over at Channel 9 better be putting their resumes together, because I just can tell you it did not go well for the people at Channel 2, right? No matter what they told you up front, it was like they were all pretty gone. Back to some of the comments. Charlene is saying, anybody concerned that this crazy chaos is a plan, is a prelude to a planned increased surveillance state? Yeah, Charlene, I worry about, that's kind of thing I worry about a lot, in that not just a planned surveillance state by the government, but you have all these deals now where government and high tech are in each other's pockets, right? And I mean, I love Elon Musk, but what he's doing and with the AI and all of that stuff. And so when you look at things like, Ring cameras outside of your house, right? It's like, well, okay, but they can, it's just, they can share that with the police if they want to. So it's not just the government surveying you, Chuck. What do you think? It's everybody else too.
I think that's right. I think that's right. But who knows what the future is going to hold?
Oh, okay. And then it's the old story of the little boy that cried wolf. Eventually, no one believed him anymore. The leftist media has lied so blatantly for so long that it now doesn't matter what they say, nobody will believe them. Yeah. Oh, and then Charlene, you're right, on Palantir. Sundance did a deep dive on that with JD Vance. Yeah, the media, and Chuck, you made a really good point. The media does not even have remotely the kind of clout that it used
No.
to have.
And certainly the left-wing media, which really controlled 80% of the media, and somebody had estimated one time that they made about a 15-point difference in
Wow.
the clout of the two parties. I mean, it is disappearing, and it's disappearing quickly. When Colbert will be gone, Kimmel will probably follow. I mean, all of their ones. The Washington Post is changing. LA Times is changing. I guess the New York Times is holding on with the tradition of biased and unprincipled journalism
Someone has to bear the flag,
bear
carry
the
the
burden
being the
being
totally
god
corrupt media.
awful.
Well, speaking of that, this cracked me up. So, we talked on the Monday show. Trump is launching a movement to get rid of all mail ballot to get rid of mail-in ballots, right? This is the headline in Politico today. Trump and Putin are both criticizing mail-in ballots.
I
Election
knew it.
officials are
I knew Putin was a big
freaking
mail-in guy. They
out.
always used that in the Soviet Union for the 90, well, Russia for the
I mean,
99%.
That's insane. Putin, it's like they tie Trump and Putin. I guess, I mean, do they have mail-in ballots? I mean, we're the only country that has mail-in ballots, right? It's kind of like insanity. But they had to tie, once again, they're still trying to try Trump to Putin. It's like they should give that up. That ship has sailed. That horse is out of the barn. No one believes it anymore. And even if they care, even if they did, it's like, okay. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
they
I
don't do
mean,
mail-in ballots.
the sad part is they used to have some pretty bright people who would, craft the news and send out, what everybody's supposed to say. But lately, kind of go, well, the Russia hoax thing and everything revealed is just to cover up Epstein. Does anybody believe that? I mean, it's just not convincing when it's really Bill Clinton who was down in Pedo Island all the time. It's just not credible, though. They keep on. Then it's, Putin won by being able to go in Alaska and walking on a red carpet. Really? I mean, he's one of the most powerful people in the world, and
Yeah,
somehow
it's like, it's
putting
not
him on
like,
a red carpet, somehow allows him. I mean, it's just patently ridiculous.
it is. Well, that's what this thing too. It's like, oh, I mean, they're afraid of getting rid of mail-in ballots because they need those so they can rig the elections, right?
Sure.
So what do? It's not just to attack Trump. Now they've attacked Trump by saying Putin is opposed to
Putin.
mail-in ballots, which of
They
course he
always been
is.
the big mail-in ballot guy. We always knew that. We always knew that.
And this, in this day of instant access to information, people are just getting their news from social media, from the people. Yeah, and there are pros and cons in that, because you got to be skeptical and careful. And I think you really got to watch AI stuff, right? A lot of things are generated by AI, and it's only as, garbage in, garbage out sometimes. But I remember, and it's been happening for a long time. I remember, Chuck, years ago, we were still working at KNUS at the time, at a conservative, what was that? well, some kind of conservative gathering, right? And we were sitting next to a young woman, and we were saying we did a radio show. Remember that? And she was like, "Radio?" She's
What
like,
the?
"In your car?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then she, we asked her, "Where do you get your news?" And because she didn't watch TV at all, and she got her news, she said, "From Facebook." I was like, "What?" It's like, but I mean, so it's been happening for a while. But it's even more. I mean, think of it. I was in the business. It's been. I mean, sometimes. Well, no, if I want information about the weather anymore, I go on X, right? And I look up Chris Bianchi. I hope they keep him at Channel 9 because I like him. His weather stuff is good. But I mean, it's been years since I've watched local TV news or any kind of news. Oh, this is from Charlene. If you guys look in the chat, Trump and Putin ride bareback together. President Trump is going to have Putin and Zelensky meet face to face. They've got them and they've got Zelensky on a boar, I guess that is. Well, that's because anything that Putin likes must be bad, right? So I
Yep,
don't, you'd think that.
that Putin. It's so ridiculous about Putin that it's comical. I mean, it's just comical. Does anybody, he's a murderous dictator. Yeah, as opposed to who?
A nice
The president of
dictator.
Uganda, Sudan, I mean, everywhere. I mean, yeah, he's a murderous dictator, and so are most leaders are murderous dictators. Is that
Well,
something
but Chuck,
new?
he's a murderous dictator who likes who is criticizing mail-in ballots. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah, that's right. Uh-oh. How
most of your
dare they?
murderous.
Such a traditional Americana is a mail-in ballot. I mean, you need a Norman Rockwell painting of somebody putting their ballot into a bin.
Well, if they get rid of that, I think they're going to fight. I mean, that's a hill Democrats will really die on
Oh,
because
yeah, they'll
their
kill.
ideas are they
They'll
need
kill.
that.
No, then, no. It's convenient for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Then you have Andrew Yang
Okay.
saying we should vote on our phones. It's like, what could go wrong with that, right?
Yeah,
What could.
but why don't we just raise their hands and they can figure it out through drones or something.
You can shine a light at the sky and you can
Yeah,
see.
yeah.
Speaking of Epstein, I thought this is interesting. I think Trump initially mishandled the whole thing poorly, right? But I think he's got back on his game now. So yet another, a third Democrat-appointed judge is refusing to release the Epstein grand jury transcripts and evidence. The Department of Justice finally, Trump said, okay, fine, Pam Bondi, just ask the judge to release everything. And so they did, and a third Democrat judge has said no. They're not going to release the grand
No.
jury transcripts. Yeah.
No.
So it's kind of hard for them to be blaming Trump on that anymore anyway, right? Trump said, I asked, said, release it. It's the judges who won't.
Yeah, well, when they finally get down to the end of Epstein, they're going to be kind of disappointed because Epstein was not a pimp in particular. He was, and Dershowitz kind of pointed that out. No. Basically, what would happen is that he loved to get young masseuses to give him massages with happy endings. He really could care less what all his friends wanted or got. He kept them almost all to himself. Maybe one or two, he said, could you give so and so a massage and work out the payment with him? But like Dan Kappa said, he thought that Epstein was the worst human being of the 21st century. And you kind of go, wow, how do you get that?
Well, I'm not so sure. Oh, go ahead, Charlene.
Yeah, I just want to say this right quick. The hardest time thing I've had with Trump, two things. One of them, his alignment with Bibi on the Palestinian situation, which I can't find any Christian to agree with me. So I'm going to my old liberal friends to get solace with them. So don't lose your liberal friends, okay? Because you will
You may
agree
need
with
them someday.
Yeah, you may need them someday when everybody else has gone crazy. But the other thing was the Epstein list, and I was right about Ukraine also, by the way. It was like the first day after all that came out and everybody put the flags in the bio. I said,
Right.
this is all Ukraine trying to get rid of Donbass Russian citizens and trying to encroach upon Russia. It's all a geopolitical strategy by the West. And Russia had to defend itself. So everybody said, no, you're wrong. And sure enough, I was right. But anyway, so I don't put any flags in my bios. But the thing about this Epstein thing that really got me was how could Trump you know, turn his back on that. And then this commentator that I really like that just showed up on Tucker last night, the chemist, Dave McCollum, he said, the DOJ may not be releasing the Epstein list because Trump is using it as leverage to get things done at home and around the world.
Huh.
And that
there is no Epstein list.
No, see, Chuck, I disagree with you.
No Epstein list.
He tried to
influence people, and there are lots of them from Bill Gates on, but there is no Epstein list.
There is testimony out there, Chuck, though, where women talk about, I know you don't think so, but the testimony from these victims, maybe they were lying, but there's testimony out there that has not been released where the women talked about other people, other men. Okay, so.
Yeah, but, you know, he might meet them inadvertently, but he wasn't a pimp. He was too personally greedy.
Here's the thing, Charlene, I would say this. I don't think if you're Epstein, if there was a list, I think it's long since gone. I will say
that. Well, he had a list of people he knew or friends or everything else, but there's not a pimp's list.
Well, and you know,
of Johns that
using that word list. They're using that word list the same way that Bill Clinton used the word there is no there. You know, that's like, what is the list? So they can deny there's a list because we can't categorize exactly what the list is. So everybody can say, well, there isn't one because we don't know what it is. But the fact is, they use blackmail to get people in high positions to do the bidding.
Nobody believes that. Nobody on the inside believes that.
I don't know, Chuck.
They had no cameras. They've done this.
Chuck, you don't believe it, but there are other people who do.
Yeah,
so just let Charlene finish.
Cash Patel and Dan Bongino talked about it, and A.G. Bondi said she had it on her desk. So, I mean, they believed it.
She's crazy.
Now it's not cool to believe it anymore because Trump said it wasn't. But Trump is just wanting us to forget it because he's using the blackmail that the other people were using on those same people to get things done around the world. And that's the only way I can reconcile that, because things are happening in Trump's favor, you got to admit. And if he releases those names, that blackmail is not worth anything anymore. They can't be blackmailed.
There's plenty of other blackmail.
I don't know that I'd go that far with you, Charlene, although that is certainly a theory. I do think,
since you got surveillance state, right? Yeah. You don't think that the CIA and all those don't have dirt on everybody, including yourself? They have dirt on everybody. They don't need Epstein.
Yeah, but they have pictures with these people doing naughty things. And they don't want that getting out because
they don't want the public
knowing them, because they can't keep their high positions of power.
I will say one thing. I do find it interesting that all three of the judges who refuse to release the grand jury transcripts and evidence say they're not going
down
to.
At Petto Island. They were on the plane.
Let me finish, Chuck. They say they're not releasing it because it's all out there already. So.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, well, wait, if it's all out there already, then why not release it? Do you know what I mean?
And Trump sloughed it off to the judges because he knew they couldn't. Right, Julie? You were
right.
You told us about
it. Yes, they don't usually release it, but I think that was clever on his part.
And Chuck, I just want to say, Chuck is smart, but Julie is genius.
There we go. Perfect, Charlene.
Julie told us earlier that that was a slough off to the judges because they could not release it. And Trump and Bondi knew that. And I'm sure you knew that too, Chuck. Yes. And you probably told Julie.
The judges can do whatever they want. They're doing it all the time.
All right. Hey, Charlene, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. This from Chuck. And I agree with you here on this, Jim. You can't judge Trump on any individual action, only on results. And those have been great. A peace in Ukraine eventually will be proof of that. Yeah, again, I love the way that Trump is like, no, we're just going to go straight to peace. We're not going to do weird ceasefires and stuff like that. And, you know, he got Europe to stand with it. I mean, we'll see what happens, but... I do think so. Then Putin like bombs something. It's like if you're Trump, you're like, Putin, stop it. You know,
It's not like Ukrainians aren't bombing things. It's an ongoing war. So they're both bombing everything. It's just in the West, all you hear is the Russians are bombing. Well, they're bombing. And
that's a good point.
Ukrainians are bombing the Russians as much as they can. So it's a war.
One other thing I wanted to switch gears, and that is to talk about, so Thursday, because the Democrats have screwed Colorado so badly, they have a budget deficit, and the Polis has called everybody back into a special session to try to figure out how to balance or how to fill the deficit. Part of it is, as you know, Jacob has explained very well, has a lot to do with basically the tax cuts that we're all getting because of Trump's tax cut bill,
Yeah,
right?
they got a great
And
job on.
so basically, we're going to be taxed because of the tax cuts. Colorado is going to have to, the line that you fill in and what's your income is going to be
It's
lower.
too low for the state as far as they're
It's,
concerned.
yeah, so the state has to, so what the state
Oh, we
has to
gotta get
do,
that back. Not now
this
you're
is exactly, that's what the special session is. It's like, so Trump gave you some tax relief. We need to, now we're going to blame Republicans for that, of course,
Of
for
course.
that situation. So we need to have a special session to figure out how to screw you again. Now that
Yeah,
Trump
we
has
get, you know,
sent,
we can't, you can't, you can't get a state, you know, rebate or reduction. No. I mean, we've already spent that money on worthless,
fees.
boondoggle projects.
Right, exactly. And illegal immigrants and housing and figuring
Yeah.
out how to screw businesses. Oh, and by the way, we're driving Denver and Colorado in general into the dirt. So we're actually
Sure.
losing the other taxes that you're used to paying, like sales taxes and things like that. But they're gonna go back there and we'll try to get Brandy or Scott or somebody on next week to talk about what they're gonna do
How they're going to screw us.
because they're going to, right? They're going to control. Well, and
They have
here's
to.
my thing. My guess is that Polis, I mean, they're not, Polis isn't just sitting there saying, okay, you guys come up with something and then we'll take a look at it and see how it goes, right? No, there are dark money donors, big interests, all kinds of people meeting secretly at, you know, in Polis's office, figuring it out. And then I think Polis will then turn around and tell the Democrats what to do. I mean, I don't know. What
I
do you
agree
think?
with that totally.
It'll be something where in
They're
the
not
end,
going to wait for the idiotic legislators to tell them what they think they should do.
no, nor are they going to wait to see. So what I just worry that what's going to come out of this is if you're a giant corporation, then your tax cut's going to stay,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
if you're like Chuck and Julie and
Oh, they
Charlene,
got to hit us. Well, it's
yeah.
no different than COVID. Okay, we've got to close down all the little stores so that the big boxes can stay open because, well, big boxes don't trans, you know, don't transmit COVID. Little stores do COVID, so that's yay. And we got to get, you know, got to keep pot shops open because the governor likes his marijuana, but liquor stores, you know, got to close them. I mean, it's just, you know, the amount of goodwill that the Colorado legislature has for whatever solution they come up with is about zero.
Right.
About zero. So they could come up with the most brilliant one that includes, you know, cutting back some things.
Hello, cut the budget. There's just a thought, right?
Yeah. And so, and but you can count on the Denver Post from saying, you know, being a toady. And it'll be whatever ugly thing it is.
Well, it'll be
But
ugly for some and not as ugly for others. That's
yeah,
okay, so
well, right. For
that's going
you
to
and
be.
me and everybody who's listening. You're gonna get it. Yeah.
Your fees are going to go. I was reading a thing, somebody on Twitter, it was funny. They were saying that the Democrats are misgendering fees as taxes. They're misgendering taxes. Taxes are, they're calling them fees. And I thought that's really true. That, I mean, that's what they're going to do that. And then in the meantime, because what could go wrong with this? They're going to start, they're also going to throw in. So apparently they tried to pass a bunch of AI bills, right? Trying to say that, like, if you're applying for a job and it's being screened by AI, AI can't discriminate, blah, 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 right? I mean, I was reading it and I was like, what? So the law, as everyone agrees that they passed, was a total mess. So they're going to also tackle, because what could go wrong with this? AI. It's like, so Colorado lawmakers, a brilliant bunch, are going to go in there and try to come up with regulations for, I'm just sorry. I bet if you were to take a poll, probably 80% of them couldn't really even explain large language model or how AI even works, don't you think? I mean, do you,
Half
do
of
we?
them couldn't tell you what the letters stand for. I mean, you know, I mean, it's could we replace the legislature with AI? Not a bad idea.
We
Not a
absolutely
bad
could.
idea.
Although we'd have to reprogram it because they would come up with the most ridiculous things, right? They would
Well, the
say, well, we can't
legislature
do that because
wouldn't. I
that's a
mean,
tax. And then you have to program it, say, no, you just call it, you just call it a fee, and then it's not really a tax anymore. So, I mean, God knows what's going to come out of that because, and to kind of circle back around to Sundance and what Charlene was bringing up, I saw Zuckerberg is completely restructuring his company to do more AI stuff,
sure.
right? And the race for all kinds of things is going on, and I mean, it's kind of like trying to regulate the internet. I think once again, that ship has sailed, right? I don't know how you regulate AI. I don't know how do you tell a company you can't use AI to screen resumes when people are using resumes to write, are using AI to write
AI to write
resumes.
it. They go, "Oh yeah, we wrote this resume. Yeah, let's hire him."
Well, exactly. Well, and that, well, and I was reading a thing that's a problem. And I think then you have sort of like with some things where you can, it's, you know, you say apply online, you've actually got anymore now AI, it's bots are applying for jobs, right? So you're hiring bots. Now, granted, and I think sooner or later they'll find ways to figure that out. But I just think that having Colorado state lawmakers getting involved in things, I'm not sure, you know, that we want some of the Richard Holtorf. Do we really want him writing AI bills in
Buckwheat,
Colorado?
absolutely. The vice chair of the Republican Party. I don't think he's in the legislature anymore, but he's an AI bot
Well,
anyway.
somebody like that, right? Exactly. Well, and again, it may go smoother. So we'll keep you posted on what goes on there. But I'm just
What
normally.
positive things your legislature is going to be doing for you
That's right.
starting
You
Thursday.
and all the illegal immigrants. On the other side, though, like to end on a happy note. I saw this just before we came on. So Tulsi Gabbard just sent out like pink slips, basically, or notices of pink slips. She's cutting 40% of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. So I thought that
40%, that's a real cut.
40%.
That's not the your standard 10% winky winky. 40% of the Office of Director of National Intelligence. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all those people? And I feel sorry for them. I know you don't have the milk of human kindness that I do, but I mean these people who had lifetime jobs in the federal government, and moreover, once COVID came and they never had to go to the office. And ergo, they had to do very, very little work, and they got a good paycheck. They had health care plans. I mean, it was like the greatest scam ever, ever. I mean, boy, what a perfect world. You don't even have
Well,
to
and
be
particularly for these guys,
dead.
because they were spies, right? So
Yeah.
these
And
are
actually,
essentially.
it's a, so, you know, you could say, oh, I'm in, you know, director national, you know, I work with whatever it is, and people will be really impressed. And you know, what do you do exactly? You go, oh, I can't tell
I
you
can't tell
because
you.
I
Well,
don't know. I don't think I'll do anything.
well,
But
she pulled. Well, they
40%.
try to screw over Trump, and you know what I mean. And Tulsi Gabbard is sort of like, okay, so our job is going to go back to provide information. We're not going to leak stuff. She was saying there's just way too much bloat. There's way too much leaking. There's way too many people here working to undermine the president as opposed to help get the president information that he needs. So you got to figure she's getting a 40%. That's pretty bad,
That's got
really.
to be
I
a
mean.
lot of happy people, you know. I mean, everybody's gonna be terrified.
Right.
Just, I mean, when they talk about a 40% cut, that's
Well, and the other thing she did is she pulled security clearances from 37 people who are there currently there, right? And as we said
well, they're not
before,
currently. Some are X, some are present ones.
yes.
Some, I'm not sure how you work there without a security clearance. I mean,
Well,
you'd be
exactly.
part of the 40%, I assume.
Yeah, and I think it makes it much harder though to go out there and get a good consulting job, right? If you're
You
like,
can't. You
yeah.
have to have clearance to get the consulting jobs, to the extent there are any consulting jobs out here. But can you imagine all these people, all the neighborhoods in Maryland, and you know, the people are going to go, well, I got to move someplace cheaper and I'm unemployable. I go, well, you know, having worked in intelligence, I mean, you know, there aren't just a lot of good jobs out there for
No, there's
that skill set. I
not.
mean, you know, you could join Putin or something, but.
No, because he doesn't like mail-in ballots, so we
Oh
can't.
yeah, and they do. So it's but I mean just 40%. I forget how big the Office of the Director of
So
National.
it'll be still about 1,200, so which is in its own.
1,200 worthless people,
No,
and
they're still going to be there, so
so there were 1,800 or something.
right. Right. Oh, Chuck, that was fast math on your part. That would have
Oh
taken me
well,
3
there you
days.
go. It's not exactly correct, but what the hell. It's
Well, Charlene
I
says
feel
they were
so
celebrating.
sorry for those people because they had it so good. They had it so good.
Charlene says they were sabotaging her. They absolutely were. And Bondi is keeping all the Biden cronies. Yeah, I don't know about Pam Bondi. Well, I think though they're
Oh,
getting,
wait a
but
minute. I
Harmeet
mean, they've
Dillon is
gotten
getting
rid
rid of
of
a bunch of
most of
people.
the DOJ. Not most, but a huge percentage. They got rid of 2/3 of the people, 75% of the people in the Civil Rights Division.
Yeah,
Sixty-five percent.
I think Pam Bondi is doing some good, but hey, listen, that's gonna, because I have to go get Rev.
You
I
gotta get Rev, that's
gotta
right.
get
I mean,
Rev.
he's a
I
good
want to say on
guy.
Monday we're gonna have Dr. John Lott Jr. on. He's gonna talk about, I think this is interesting, because particularly when you look at Colorado, the Trump's crackdown on crime in Washington, D.C., and why it can turn things around so fast. So he should be, he's always good. He's real good on gun and crime statistics. But
Yes,
that'll do
yes,
it for
yes.
us on this Wednesday.
Hi, everybody. Enjoy that beautiful weather out there.
All right. Bye, everybody on Zoom. We'll see you all Monday.